This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.
Feel better?
You kind of have to take a deep breath. Oh, man, that is always fun with Jay Lehman. Again, thanks to Molitor Financial, Freedom Roofing, and Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. We're going to be reading you a little ditty on Dick Van Dyke a little bit later this hour. They are the sponsors for Jay Lehman every Monday during the Illini football season. The sponsor for this segment, Game Day Spirit. Two locations, Neal and Green Street. Find them at gamedayspirit.com. Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise joining us to get his thoughts on Illinois falling to Purdue 31-24. I'll start with you, Derek. I kind of gave my last salvo there to Jay Lehman, and it's true because the tailgate party, the event that I was at, you know, we have our fun, but 90% of that group watches the game. And 100% of that, 90% of that group wants Illinois to win football games. And it never fails that there's always some frustration that comes out. And, you know, once the game's over a couple hours later, we've forgotten it, we've moved on. But one of the guys that I was with, he literally was saying that. He goes, Lon, it's always something. We understand that you're playing with your four-string quarterback, and we understand that, like, Doug Kramer being out is a big thing. And that certainly is an excusable thing, because that is something that if you threw on any college football team, they're going to have a hard time adjusting to that. But you're right. It's just, if it wasn't something else every other week, then you could say, well, here's the reason you lost to Purdue. It just seems like it's always something, Derek. That's my frustration.
It feels that way. And to your point, as you just said, when you lose by 7 and those different things go wrong, when Brandon Peters is out, when Isaiah is in out as well, Caron Taylor's in, and he makes some plays, but he has 4 turnovers on his own.
Right.
And you look actually, I don't want to say to the defensive's credit, but actually somewhat, because their red zone defense in the second half was pretty good.
I agree.
They stand him up. They get Horvath to fumble. 2 plays later, Caron Taylor throws an interception and then Purdue's in the end zone.
Yep.
They stop him on 4th and goal. Illinois defense does. 2 plays later, Caron Taylor gets hit on a quarterback run and fumble for a touchdown.
Yep.
So he contributed to Purdue obviously winning that game.
Big time.
What would frustrate me and what's obviously at the front of my mind is you have a defensive-minded head coach in a prove-it year where you have the COVID issues, but they don't really affect you defensively. You started your starting group on defense, and you got shredded once again in terms of through the pass. You go back to that Northwestern game, and I know that Hanson was out, but you get 400 yards on the ground. And then against Cal, Chase Garber's 5 total touchdowns in 5 Pac-12 games.
Yeah.
He has 5 total touchdowns against you in the bowl game. Mm-hmm. Graham Mertz looks like a Heisman.
Aiden O'Connell. And, 30 for 35, 400 yards.
And then O'Connell comes in and just slings it everywhere. So that's where I would say, how are you putting your team in a better position? Are you recruiting, whether you're recruiting good enough guys or not? And then you look at Illinois' recruiting here recently, especially, I mean, talking about high school, you're not at a level where, oh, the next, well, just wait and see who's coming next.
Oh, yeah, we got this guy coming next.
You don't have that.
Right.
So that's what would be really concerning to me. Nate Hobbs' play, he's your best corner, and he's getting toasted, and here comes Rashad Bateman up next. That's something that's very concerning.
Yeah. Marquez Beeson hardly plays.
Yeah, and you have to think that might be lingering from the injury.
And I was thinking the same thing.
You just can't be right if he's barely playing.
Exactly, because you would think with what's happening right now on that field, like kind of like they did, and I want to give him credit on offense. We talked last week, they didn't do this because of us, but we talked last week how we wanted to see speed. And what happens? Kyron Cumbie's out there, and he gets, what? I think he had 2, ended up getting 2 for like 20 yards. A couple of plays. One was a little sweep that they flipped to him. But at least you've got guys out there that have speed, and they're trying. They're trying something. That makes me think the same thing with Beeson as well, that you would think that if he were healthy and all go, he'd be out there.
You would think, and you would hope that he'd be in the vicinity of some of these wide receivers who are wide open. But is the scheme you're playing by design just leaving guys open over the middle of the field? I don't know Purdue's tight end's name. I don't have a reason to know it, but he was open on that first drive, and they're just hitting him over the middle for, it's 15 yards between the linebackers and the safeties. And that's just really frustrating to see time and time and time again. Wait till you actually play a good quarterback. Tanner Morgan's one of those.
Ugh. And when you're giving Derek or Trevor, I'll go to you, Trevor. When you're giving up 9 to 10 or plus yards every down, that's the thing that's crazy. When is a team ever in like a third and long? It seems like every play goes for 8 or 9, it seems like.
Purdue's first drive, I believe, was 4 plays, 4 first downs, touchdown.
Yeah.
I don't think they had a second down on their first drive. They didn't have to face a second down situation. And to your point, I'm kind of with you on this, and just a sense of, I don't have an excuse anymore.
No.
For the defense, at least, where it's just like, well, you know, Ferguson is a really good tight end. I don't care.
Yeah,
well,
right, exactly.
O'Connell's shown a lot lately. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care.
Like, there's something new every single... Well, Andrew Marty knows how to scheme up the RPO, and that's kind of a weakness of the defense. Just stop.
Exactly.
It's just like if I burnt pizza every single night, and on night 37 of burning pizza, I'm like, well, you know, it was a little over-frozen. I had to thaw it out first, just a little bit. The oven's been kind of weird lately. The preheating settings are off. Stop.
You're going to lose your job at Jets Pizza if you keep doing it.
You've been fired, okay?
Exactly.
You've burnt a pizza for the 37th straight night. Like, it's just enough.
It's frustrating. And now you're 0-2. And I think what frustrates me is you look at a team like Northwestern that's 2-0. You look at a team like Purdue that's 2-0. You look at a team like Indiana that's 2-0. I didn't just rip off Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State. I just ripped off three teams that you should be compatible with, especially when you're in a fifth year of Lovie Smith and knowing what he has. And basically, all these guys that he threw in as freshmen, and bless their hearts, they went out and took the pounding. But here we are now in year five, of him. And I see Indiana across the border 2-0. I look up north and see Northwestern 2-0. I look at, who else? Who did I just say? Purdue 2-0. And you had a chance to beat them. And I don't know. It's just like, when is it our turn? When is it our turn? I'm not even trying to be nitty gritty anymore about who should be coaching and what should be. When is it our turn to be 2-0?
Or the year that Minnesota had last year.
Right, good call.
You started at eye level with some of these. When Lovie took over your program, as much of a mess as it was, or just at a low bar, him taking over, you were eye level with probably a Purdue.
Yep.
Minnesota wasn't anything to talk about.
Nope.
Indiana hasn't been anything to talk about until recently, football-wise, since between Antoine Randall L. and now,
right.
There's a whole lot of nothing in there. And why are they in better situations? Why are they, do they look better coached, and why do they recruit better talent? Why are they always above you in these recruiting rankings? Where's the disconnect in the buy-in that they're getting that you're not getting?
Yeah, and then you look at Michigan State. Do you think, honestly, if Michigan came here and played us, that we would beat Michigan?
No.
I think we've beaten Michigan 4 times in the last 60 years. So this is more of a systematic problem than it is maybe a Lovie Smith problem. But do you really think that Illinois is going to beat Michigan, and here what happens? Michigan State beats them. I just feel like it's like Illinois, you go stand over there in that corner, and the rest of us are going to play over here. And that, I don't know. We started not on the air, Trevor, but we all sat down and I looked at Jay and I'm like, I'm already to the point of just like almost giving up. And I didn't want that.
I mean, I would definitely say there's concern for the wheels to fall off here in terms of, I don't think Minnesota's as bad as they've played. Now, their defense is
bad.
Definitely as bad as they've played, but their offense is good. Whether you like it or not, they have a really good coach.
Yes.
And I just think that regression to the mean at some point is going to bring them back from 0-2.
I agree.
I mean, they lost last week because of an extra point. So, you know, I mean, it's not like they were necessarily, at one point they were up a lot in that game. And so, you look at that and you think, well, they're hungry. Fleck has owned Lovie for the most part. I don't personally think that's going to be a win. And then you're 0-3 going to a Rutgers team that's going to be 1-2. They play Ohio State this weekend, so they're going to be 1-2.
Right.
But they're better.
Yeah.
And look, Illinois can certainly win that game. You're not going to have Brandon back.
No.
It's still 21 days. So you can win that game regardless. But, I mean, at that point, like, worst case scenario, I know. But, like, at 0-4, I mean, I don't see a win at that point, because you're going to Nebraska and they're the easy win for them. Then you get Ohio State. Then you get Iowa, who hasn't looked great.
No.
So maybe there's one you circle as like the random fluke win for Illinois this year.
That'd be awesome.
And then Northwestern's owned you. And so it's just one of those things where like I'm not there yet, and I'm not saying this team is going 0-8, and certainly some of it is out of their control with COVID, but you do start to worry, regardless of where the factors and outside problems are coming from, you do start to worry now at potentially 0-3. Where is this heading? How bad is it going to get?
You know what's really depressing to me, Derek, is that when we look at a schedule, meaning the three of us, look at an Illinois schedule, what is one game we look at? We could look at it over and over and over to start a season, and we're going to say, well, they're going to win that one. It's Rutgers. That's what every other team does with you. That's what every other fan base does with Illinois. That is so depressing.
Yeah, I know. I don't really know what else to say about it. It's just the harsh reality. It's been like that for
a long time,
more times than not in the past couple of decades, and it still holds true. Now, again, you're not going to have Brandon, and that's going to be baked into the explanation for why Illinois could then go struggle here going forward. Again, then at the same time, you know, try to figure it out. Let's see what you can do. Caron showed some things. He did have some backbreaking turnovers. Minnesota just gave up 700 yards to Maryland. So try to do something. Be competitive in that game. Be in that game. Now, they were in the game late against Purdue.
I agree.
But, yeah, I don't blame anybody that now starts to think, okay, another loss is coming. Maybe we win Rutgers. Maybe we don't. There's a lot lower chance than at the start of the year that we'd win that one. And then where are we going to end up? Not probably a place that anybody really wants.
No.
I think for some reason, something that frustrates me is that if that were to happen, nobody on a national level, and I'm not blaming them, would think anything about it.
No, right.
You know what
right.
I mean? In the sense of
that's
like,
that's a great point.
Every single person picked Illinois to finish last.
Yep.
And there was a while there where we were like, I'm not trying to be too biased here, but that seems a little strange considering the talent you have coming back.
Amen.
But they didn't even ever hear that. That didn't register with anybody that wasn't a Champagne person. And so now Illinois is going to finish, I don't know, let's just say 2-6 or something.
Right.
And then let's even say they win the ninth game. Let's say they finish 3-6. They're going to finish last, and no one's going to think anything of it. Well,
that's true.
Illinois, they were last. And it's just frustrating because it just felt like this was building up to something, at least locally. And the fact that it's not isn't going to register with anyone who isn't local.
I wish I could bottle up.
I don't know
up.
Why that frustrates me, but it does.
I wish I could just bottle up what you just said. And because you're right. And not that we care what anybody else says, but it's just, ugh. All right, Lovie Smith today met with the media. Here is his opening statement from his press conference.
We were missing a few players from it. You know, as we said, we don't have a whole lot of positives, but we have enough through contact tracing to wound our team a little bit. But, you know, those guys, the guys who were out this past week, will be out this week also. So with that being said, you know, the rest of our players moved on. It's a tough situation for Caron Taylor to be in. You know, we really, you know, Matt Robinson was listed as our second guy and Isaiah Williams, but I thought Caron came in and did some good football, made some good football plays, did some good things. Offensively, though, overall, it's still tough when you turn the ball over that much. And a lot of them were down in the red zone where we had opportunities to get points. But we were productive as far as yards were concerned, and but we need to get some more points on the board. Defensively, I thought we did some things better. You know, we played the run fairly well the last couple of games, but passing game-wise, we have to play better pass defense than that. On the offensive side, Chase Brown got more carries. Some guys that haven't played a lot, Alex Pilsen stepped in and did a good job. Kyron Combi got, you know, some of his first action. Daniel Bebe was able to do some things. So, and I like the way the offensive line kind of stepped up. Kendrick Green moving to center on short notice. And defensively, Owen Carney, I think Owen had 3 sacks and he missed. He should have had two others where he just didn't wrap the quarterback up. So that's when you have production like that at the defensive end position, you have to like it. Jake Hansen calls in a couple of takeaways or, you know, forcing offense to turn the ball over a few times. So there were some good things, but not good enough. We'll need to clean those things up to beat them a Minnesota team that's coming off a couple of tough losses also. I'll take your question.
All right. Well, we have questions. We have questions, Lovey. All right. Well, that's Lovey and just talking about I don't care. Just talking about stuff.
Owen Carney, three sacks.
Yeah.
He had 3.5 on his career going into that game. That was good to see.
He was impressive in that game. And that was good to see. And then like Jay would say, with bombs away, Illinois, just like that, he was really good on that, and then he had 3 penalties. And it's like we can't. What's the thing that every Illini fan says? We can't have nice things. I mean, you can't dog Owen Carney for that game because he was really outstanding. He'll be up for defensive player of the year or the week, excuse me, in the Big Ten with that kind of a showing. I mean,
especially if your team won the game,
right? But then probably you look back and it's like you had 3 penalties too, and it's like, ugh. All right, Caron Taylor. Came in, 4-string guy, and, I mean, he did some things. He had some horrendous turnovers, no doubt, but he did some things, and I wanted to get both Rod Smith and Lovie Smith to talk about Caron Taylor. Let's start with the offensive coordinator, Rod Smith.
Did some good things for us, considering his situation, and he didn't get a lot of physical reps throughout the course of the week. He got some, but not a lot. But he maximized the mental part where he took mental reps and, you know, credit the young man to that. And you know, we try to tell each and every one of them, you never know when your number's going to be called. When it is, you got to make the most of your opportunity. And sometimes guys get 27 reps and some guys get 2 reps. You just don't know how it's going to unfold. You know, obviously our situation, everybody knows what happened. And I'm going to give Caron Taylor a lot of credit because he was strong enough mentally to go in and accept the challenge and really go in and, like I said, allow us to compete in the game. He helped bring us back. And, you know, obviously you want to eliminate the mistakes and there were some critical mistakes. But at the same time, he also had us in a position to where we were going to, at the end, have a chance to win the ball game. And that's all you can ever ask for is allow your quarterback to get your offense in a position to win a football game. And that's where he had us towards the end. So hats off to that young man. I thought he showed a lot of fortitude, a lot of, you know, just some leadership, man. I've seen more leadership now out of him these last 2 days that I've seen since he's been here. And I'm really, really encouraged. I've been encouraged with his development anyway. I said in the beginning of the season, I told our staff, there's something about him. He's changed. He's grown up. He takes stuff more seriously now. And he's gotten better. He really has. And you know what? I think now he sees this is his opportunity. This is his time. And he's trying to maximize it.
Well, it said an awful lot about him because really the starter normally gets 80% of the reps of the week. Backup may get about, I don't know, some reps. 13 quarterback gets very few. 14 quarterbacks doesn't get any, really. Caron had really been signaling pretty much. But when you're not getting a lot of reps, you should be getting reps mentally. You take mental reps every snap. And that's what he's been doing. He's been paying attention. He's been in all of the meetings, been training with the rest of the guys. And when your number is called, you step up. And that's what he did. You have to have confidence in yourself. And if you talk to Caron, you know he has confidence in himself. But that confidence should grow. And now it's about correcting those mistakes that he made and putting an even better product on the football field if he's called on ball.
All right, so that is Rod and Lovie Smith talking about Caron Taylor and his performance. You and I were just laughing with Trevor. It's like, boy, he did have some horrendous turnovers in that game.
Really, really bad.
Really bad.
So in the first quarter, he throws the pick to the linebackers, gifts it right to him. You're in the red zone.
I said he was having like an out-of-body experience. He was just running right, and he goes, I'm just going to throw it right to you. No! When you looked at the replay, you're like, it's not like the linebacker. You know, sometimes a quarterback will try to hit that little slant, and an outside linebacker will take like one step back, and the quarterback just doesn't seem. Taylor saw him and just elected to throw it right at him.
Yeah, didn't see him. I don't know if he did see him or not, but he gifted it right to him. Again, that was a red zone pick. Later on, you had the fumbled exchange between him and Epstein. That was also in the red zone. And then his two second-half turnovers were essentially inside your own 10 that led to Minnesota touchdowns. So you're taking away points in the first half by those turnovers, and then you're giving Minnesota points.
Yeah.
Or Minnesota.
Purdue
points. Yeah, I'm already on.
No, that's all right. No, I get it.
Foreshadowing and whatnot.
No, I get it.
So that is the one thing I can say about the defense, though, is that they had a couple of goal line stands.
Yep.
They gave Illinois a chance to come back. Kearney had two drive-stopping sacks that allowed Illinois then to score those touchdowns, have the ball, the chance to win the game. But we're going to get into it a little bit with Taylor. He's just exciting.
Yeah.
Like, in a good way and a bad way, and he'll make you hold your breath. But it's worth watching where Matt Robinson is too safe and steady. I just don't think he's got a
game
lot.
Game manager.
I mean, to the nth degree. I just don't think there's much there. He's thrown, I think, 70-some passes. He's thrown one touchdown.
Yeah. I'll put it this way. If you're going to beat Minnesota, who's going to come in as a 10-point favorite, you're not going to do it with Matt Robinson. You may have a chance with Taylor.
That's right.
That's the way I would kind of sum that up. And I'm with you on that. Like, Taylor's exciting enough that he may just accidentally have a hell of a game against Minnesota. And you're like, whoa, I don't think Matt Robinson would do that. Now, that doesn't mean he would throw, or would have four turnovers like Taylor did. But I just don't think he's going to do really anything that's going to be that exciting for you in a game against Minnesota. So if Taylor is the guy, what should he focus on this week, and what are some of the things that Rod Smith will do with Taylor to get him ready for Minnesota?
Well, I mean, decision-making, the first thing we're going to correct. You know, we can't throw the ball into the other hands, as, you know, like we did. We can't lay it on the ground and you know, just basically give up points. Can't do that. And that's not just him, that's anybody. But you know, I think that just becomes from one, ball security. That's a physical thing. It's not really a mental thing. It's a physical thing. So we'll work on ball security all week. For when he does tuck it and carry it and run, he runs the ball sometimes too loose. And we got to put two hands in traffic whenever defenders are coming. From a decision-making process, that's just reps. That's just continuing to learn what we're doing, understand how a defense is trying to play you. And know when it's a good football play, and when it's there's sometimes you got to just throw the ball away, right? You got to eat it and live to play the next down sometimes. And he's got to do a better job of doing that. And he will. I mean, it's not atypical. I mean, he'll get better at it.
That is Rod Smith talking about Caron Taylor. And of course, we don't know yet the extent of Matt Robinson's injury as to whether or not they may elect to start him against Minnesota on Saturday. That is a 2:30 start, by the way, in the afternoon. Illinois and Minnesota here in Champaign. 2-0-2 football teams. Let's take a break. We'll do a little bit more with Illinois. We also need to talk some NFL. I know you and Trevor were just getting a little frustrated amongst yourselves about the Chicago Bears and what was going on there. So we need to talk on the Bears. We'll hit the NFL for sure a lot more tomorrow to kind of go through all of that. Monday night, first of all, why are the Eagles and Cowboys a Sunday night game? You couldn't flex the Steelers and Ravens to a Sunday night game?
I understand why it's preseason scheduled. Now, the NFC East gets the benefit of the doubt and all that. But the ability to flex that in there, last night was a brutal.
Of course,
I didn't even watch the whole thing.
You got a lot of TV sets in Dallas, in Texas, and you got a lot in Philly. So that's probably why the NFL kept it where it was.
I don't know how many TV sets in Dallas wanted to watch a seventh-round quarterback from James Madison.
Ooh, he's bad.
Yeah.
Oh, he's bad. All right, we're back. If you want to weigh in, 359-2255. It is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.
When your car breaks down, you realize just how much you need it. And when it breaks down, Beaumont Alignment Plus steps up. For routine maintenance like brakes, oil changes, tune-ups, batteries, and tires, you can count on Beaumont Alignment Plus. Bigger issues, including alignment, suspension work, starters, alternators, transmission, require specialists. So get to know Beaumont Alignment Plus for your vehicle repairs. With locations on Bloomington Road and Denison Drive in Champaign, you're never far from the help you need. It's good to know the quality service is still affordable at Beaumont Alignment Plus.
Fighting Illini football is back. And although things will look different this season, one thing remains the same. Game Day Spirit is the best place to gear up to support your Fighting Illini. From apparel to drinkware and everything in between, they have everything you need to cheer on the Fighting Illini this college football season. Visit them at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign or 6th and Green in Campustown. Or shop online 24-7 at GameDaySpirit.com. That's GameDaySpirit.com.
As you drive to your vacation destination, you are assured of a trip filled with great memories of your adventures. That's because you came to Midas for a road trip pre-check. Dave and his crew in Urbana inspected and repaired your vehicle in advance for brakes that stop, a transmission that keeps you going, shock absorbers and struts for a smooth ride, an engine tuned for your best mileage and power, and the air conditioning to keep it cool. Nothing beats a secure feeling you get from Midas Tire and Auto in Urbana. Enjoy the scenery and family time knowing that Midas is with you all the way.
Urbana Park District is coming to you. Introducing Urbana. Urbana is the Park District's new mobile recreation unit. Through a generous partnership with the Carl Foundation, bringing fun activities to a neighborhood near you will happen more frequently. Follow Urbana on Facebook and Instagram to see where it will be next. Remember, at Urbana Park District, you belong here. Visit urbanaparks.org for details.
If you're looking for a car dealership that is 100% attentive to detail, look no further than Sarah Champagne. Sarah Champagne knows you have high expectations, but they enjoy the challenge of meeting and exceeding those standards each and every time. Sarah Honda, Sarah BMW, Sarah GMC, Sarah Buick, and Sarah Subaru in Savoy, or online, Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com.
The University of Illinois College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, also known as ACES, invites you to participate in the first ever virtual ACES Family Academies. Spend time with your child or grandchild and experience all ACES has to offer. These free sessions will be posted all summer and cover a variety of ACES topics with hands-on activities that extend beyond agriculture. ACES is more than meets the eye. Register for these free sessions at acesalumni.illinois.edu/events.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody!
Whoa, it's too early for that.
Not at Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. We are ready for Thanksgiving early.
I haven't even bought my turkey yet.
You will need a dependable freezer to put it in before you buy.
It's too early to buy the best pumpkins for my pumpkin pie.
It's not too early to replace that old range that bakes unevenly.
You got that right.
Hey!
I'm gonna put off replacing my microwave. Those Thanksgiving leftovers are a long ways off.
Better lock one in now at a great price.
Can I order it online and have it shipped to my house?
Have it shipped or installed online or come into the store. Our award-winning service and sales team is staffed and ready for the holidays. Get your Thanksgiving shopping done early and worry-free at Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Great products are on sale now. If you wait, all you get are the leftovers.
When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
When my
my son Aiden gets good grades or keeps up with his chores, we take him for a treat at Curtis Orchard.
I like the apple slushies and donuts.
We are big animal fans.
I love petting the sweet kitties and feeding the goats at Curtis Orchard.
3902 South Duncan Road. Great to shop for unique gifts.
Melissa and Doug toys are in the country store.
And you can order your favorite baked goods like pies.
I have such delicious pie.
Fresh or frozen. Where can we get more details, bud?
CuritasOrchard.com.
Hey, Illini fans, it's your girl, Chiney Ogumike. Catch Lante and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Trouble, or are you looking for something new? Then shop local at Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. They have the items and resources to get you what you need now. You can shop easily by going online to appliance-world.com. Sign up for exclusive offers, get the latest local deals, chat with an associate, shop their showroom from your phone, and more. Dick Van Dyke Appliance World offers the best prices, service, and selection in Central Illinois. They're the place you want to visit for the best deals around. And of course, Lon.
Yeah.
Don't forget to ask about their 10-year protection.
Wow.
Check out the Champaign location just south of I-74 on Neal Street or online at appliance-world.com. This is soothing music. A Han special.
I needed this. Can I just keep playing this for the next 24 minutes?
Oh. It just ended abruptly.
All right, Drive Tay Piper Valise. Spells his name weird. For the way it's pronounced, it's just not.
I never think about it because it's just it's me and it's.
It's Valesse, right?
Vallesse. So it should be
like Valis.
Valis with and a silent e on the end.
But Valise.
And you would think it would be like Valees or something.
You think somebody in your family like years ago just got tired of saying Valis and they're like it's Valise.
I mean, you can definitely do that back then because you see things like. When people came over on the Mayflower or something, if the person that was recording their information misheard them, that was just their new name.
Right.
Like if they said my name was, I don't know, Rachel, and they heard that it was Scraple or something, then your name's Scraple now.
Our name, Tay, used to be Teddy. True story. It was like T-H-E-D-E, Teddy. And somehow it got changed to Tay. That's
a long stretch from Teddy.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Huh.
So, I don't know. It's weird.
I thought you were going to say, like, Taysom or something.
No, it was like Teddy. It was like...
Like Teddy Roosevelt
maybe
or something?
Maybe Tady or something. Maybe it was Tady. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I should know that. It's my history. My lineage. Is that how they say that? All right. So, Illinois loses 31-24. I mean, the stat that just keeps firing out at me is Aiden O'Connell was 30 for 35 for 400 yards. And, Derek, we talk about how the turnovers by Taylor, especially in the red zone, were horrific. And you can't blame a defense every time they take the field. They're on their own 8-yard line trying to stop Purdue. You know, it's like, of course we're going to give up points. But when you look at that stat, Aiden O'Connell 30 for 35 for 400 yards, that just tells you that, yeah, those little mix-ups down by the turnovers definitely helped lead to a loss. But so did this.
Yeah, absolutely. And how many times did we talk about or hear about throughout the offseason the strength of your defense was your back seven, how much experience you have in the secondary, a talent addition majorly, which I'm still going to buy into that with Marquez Beeson. We just haven't seen it, whether he's not right or he's not ready to play. There's something amiss there. But then I read the stat earlier in the show where you combine the last three games, this one, Wisconsin, Cal, the completion percentage over 81%, 11 touchdowns, no interceptions. You're not even taking the ball away.
And that's not going down this week.
No, absolutely not. Not at all. And you're leaving the middle of the field wide open, and you can't win the one-on-one with your best corner against whoever their best wide receiver is. Nate Hobbs has gotten beat up the last couple of appearances. The very end of the game, it's 3rd and 11.
Yeah.
Now, that was a heck of a catch by David Bell. One-handed.
It really was.
I don't know if Hobbs could do a whole lot. I don't love the fact that we're like, okay, we're not going to let David Bell in this game.
Yep.
Let's maybe put a safety over there or do something. But here comes Rashad Bateman and Tanner Morgan. Ooh. It's not going to be pretty.
On the flip side, the Illinois offense did score some points. 24 points in this one after not scoring against Wisconsin. Today, Rod Smith talked about what he's seeing out of that or out of his unit.
I wouldn't say I'm happy. I was more pleased than I was the week before. That's obvious. So things did get better there. So there was improvement. There's still some things we got to get cleaned up. There was still a lot of missed reads, a lot of missed assignments that were costly. And we got to be better. And we got to coach them better. And we got to take what the coaching is and apply it on Saturdays as well. So there's still a level, another level we got to get to. And we left, in my opinion, we left a lot of plays out on the field, left a lot of points out on the field at times. And to be a good football team, which we all want to be, and to beat a good football team, you can't play like that. You got to be able to execute, and we didn't do that.
No, and Trevor brought up an alarming stat. How long did it take? It
took 87 minutes to score a point on offense this year, because 60 minutes against Wisconsin, you scored zero. And then the first touchdown, I believe, against Purdue was late in the second quarter.
Okay.
So it took 87 minutes to score a point on offense this year.
Well, you should be able to score against Minnesota, Dirk. Their defense is not good at all.
No, I mean, Junior, his younger brother, threw for 400 yards, and he was brutal in the first game against Northwestern, threw three interceptions. So I guess that might be your sign of encouragement, maybe, for Caron Taylor, who gets some practice reps, has turnover issues against Purdue, and then gets to face the Minnesota squad that lost a ton on defense. They're brutal at that side of the ball.
Yeah,
when Maryland puts up 700 yards. But you're going to need to score a lot, because, as we just said, Morgan, Ibrahim out of the backfield, and then Bateman and everything they got going for the Gophers. But, yeah, you got major opportunities to put points on the board. You're going to need to.
Well, is this then a must win? I mean, if you ask me, it is. How about you, Lovey?
Must win. I mean, that's pretty hard to say must.
I like it. It's a game like it when he answers you directly.
Right.
Impossible to win. To say must, I would use those words. It's a game that we're going to do everything we possibly can to win. That's what I would say. We wanted to win those other two. We're playing division conference games. You want to win every one of those, and we don't have a win, and we've played two. This is a game we need to win, absolutely.
Breathtaking.
So a game you need to win. It kind of answers the question at the very end.
It's a must win. I don't know. You're not going to beat Minnesota.
Fairly unlikely. Here's the thing. If you don't win, then where are you at? The expectation, though, it's hard to call it a must win with your four-string quarterback and the situation and all that. But at the same time, how depressing would it be at the very beginning of the season if you said, Iowa, they're down.
Yep.
They're not very good.
Yep.
Minnesota, their defense is brutal. You're going to start 0-2. And you're sitting there in Illinois, you're like, oh, this
Purdue, they're not going to play Rondale Moore against you.
Right.
And they got a former walk-on starting at quarterback.
Yeah. You're probably feeling pretty good.
I agree. You should be. And that's why we were feeling good. And unfortunately, it's very frustrating. All right, let's talk.
Let's get in a better mood. And we'll come up next, Bears Saints. What the heck?
I literally just said, let's talk NFL. And then I was like, crap. Yeah. Never mind. Yeah, let's talk NFL.
Mondays are fun.
Bears Saints, it's the drive. Wins basketball.
Things are always changing. Last November, did you put on a mask to go grocery shopping? In 2019, did you have to have an extra budget item for hand sanitizer? Two Men in a Truck is always changing, too. We are constantly looking for ways to make moving a better experience. Whether you're moving to Dinosaur, Colorado, Freeway, Tennessee, or Savoy, Illinois, we have multiple solutions to help you with your unique move. Go to twomenchampagne.com and start your estimate. That's a smart move.
Hi, I'm Craig McDonald with the McDonald Group Real Estate Group. But we're not talking real estate today. We started a podcast called Champagne with Craig. Make no mistake, I love this community and those that make it great. We will have lively topics, amazing people that don't get enough credit for what they do in our community. Please subscribe on your favorite podcast channel, Champagne with Craig. That's spelled C-R-E-G, C-R-E-G, Champagne with Craig. I hope you listen.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop.
We've all been stuck at home, looking at all the things we'd like to change about where we live. Well, Flooring Surfaces is here to help. The summer of savings starts now with discounted pricing on hundreds of the best floors around. Select in-stock hardwoods are cut by 50%. Double discounts on laminate floors and premium imported tiles start at just $125 per square foot. Flooring Surfaces stocks over 1 million square feet of flooring, so you will find a tile, hardwood, carpet, or waterproof vinyl floor that will freshen your space and save you money. We are a local business that's open to serve you in a clean and safe environment. Call 398-1990 to set up a personalized showroom experience or a safe in-home consultation. Then get ready to save with Flooring Surfaces.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surfaces, your first stop. Flooring Surfaces.
Did your roof get hit hard by the July hailstorm in central Illinois? If so, you need to call Freedom Roofing ASAP. Freedom Roofing has the expertise to repair, evaluate, and even replace your entire roof, and it could be covered entirely by your insurance. Give Freedom Roofing a call at 217-393-6000. That's 217-393-6000. Or visit them on the web at freedomchampagne.com. That's freedomchampagne.com.
Christmas time is here, and this is your year for a tree that brings cheer with a tree guarantee that keeps the glee. And it's all right here at Prairie Gardens. You'll find unique holiday decor and sparkling ornaments galore, handmade wreaths, candles, and more. And all at generous savings you'll adore. Because when you're at Prairie Gardens, you make your Christmas as unique as you. Extraordinary gardening, home decor, framing, and...
ho, ho, ho!
It's holiday Christmas!
This fall, our choice for Congress is clear. Lobbyist Betsy Londrigan is a Mike Madigan crony. In Springfield, Londrigan lined her pockets with Madigan's dirty insider deals. Then she took nearly $300,000 of Madigan's dirty money to buy a seat in Congress. Londrigan even took campaign cash from lobbyists under federal investigation for corruption and a rape cover-up. A Madigan machine politician, Betsy Londrigan would make Washington worse. There's a better choice. Our Congressman Rodney Davis is getting results for us. Rodney is taking on the big insurance companies to protect everyone with a pre-existing condition. And he's holding the big drug companies accountable to lower our prescription drug costs. And when the pandemic hit, Rodney secured lifeline loans for small businesses, helping to save over 2 million Illinois jobs. Rodney Davis is on our side.
I'm Rodney Davis. I'm running for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Rodney for Congress.
I'm Mark Sheldon, your County Recorder of Deeds. For 14 years, I also served as your county clerk. At that time, I never supported the merger of the recorder and the clerk. Why was that? Very simply, I actually talked to the experts in this area, such as bankers, title companies, and attorneys. They record $1 billion in property transactions each year, and most don't support a merger. My opponent claims that Cook County, quote, seems to be doing fine. Cook County has a 6 to 8 week delay in recording right now. In Champaign County, you can walk in the office and immediately get a document filed. 2 years ago, county Democrats told voters it didn't matter who the treasurer was. In 2 years, we've seen taxpayers get double billed and homeowners have their refinancing delayed. I want to make the recorder appointed rather than an elected politician so we can ensure professional administration in the future.
Paid for by Citizens for Mark Sheldon.
Have you seen the historic interest rates in the news? Wonder if refinancing makes sense for you? Hi, this is J.J. Farney, mortgage lender at Molitor Financial Group. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance your current home, I can help you achieve your mortgage goals while taking advantage of today's rates. Ready to get started? Contact me today at champagnelender.com. That's champagnelender.com.
NMLS number 1810670. Molitor Financial Group is an Illinois mortgage licensee.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lante and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise, Chicago Bears. Wait, let me start over. Let me do my Jack Buck. I'll start with you, Trevor. Or, I'm sorry, Derek. Derek Piper, Chicago Bears.
Ugh. Why? Why do we have to play the ugliest brand of football? Now I'm leaving out. Okay, I'm going to leave out the Jets.
Yeah, well, no, I agree.
But it's just... it's the ugliest brand of football, especially for a team over 500 in the NFL. And what got so frustrating is that Drew Brees, we talked about a little bit in the break, they even flashed on the screen during the game. I think it was the third quarter. Drew Brees has attempted 6 passes all year beyond 20 yards. But early on, it's dig and duck to Kamara. It's
boom, wide, boom,
it's,
boom.
It's a little open, yep. Move the chains type of things that we expect. But this team isn't, it's not that good. Their defense is in win-now mode when they're not sitting back and letting Jared Cook go wide open over the middle for a touchdown. Breeze on the right side does it against, was it Fuller? And he throws it behind him. So let's do it on the left side against Jalen Johnson. He's wide open again. Somehow they take it to overtime.
Yeah. I mean, you got to give them credit. They were down 10, what, with like 3 minutes plus?
Yeah. You dropped a couple of interceptions. When you had the ball, Anthony Miller dropped one. Jimmy Graham dropped one.
Roquan Smith dropped a potential interception going the other way.
He had a big game, didn't he? Roquan Smith had a big game.
He played pretty well.
Trevor, I'll do my Jack Buck. Trevor, they covered.
They did. Illinois covered.
Oh, they did?
It was 7.5, and they lost by 7.
Oh, that's true. I didn't even bet it. I didn't bet anything on...
Well, you can't.
Well, right, that's true. I didn't bet anything Saturday, and I just was watching these results of Michigan State beating, you know, Michigan and Northwestern and Iowa, and I'm like, I'm glad I didn't bet because I would have lost every bet that I would have made.
Illinois, I believe, is 7-2 in their last 9 against the spread.
Wow.
Somehow.
Hey, David Montgomery looked decent yesterday. Do you feel like they
had one 40-yard run where just you're in such awe. This is a Bears team that, how many times did you see that out of Forte, mm-hmm. or just in the history of the Bears, that now one big gain on the ground is like, we can do that? What?
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know that was possible.
Aikman was delivering some pointed but humorous and agreeable points of Montgomery didn't even know what to do with himself because he had so much space.
Right.
What's Nick Foles doing? What are the Bears doing? I don't understand what's going on. And I did tend to agree with him. You're just in that purgatory range where, like Derek said, the defense is good enough to win now, and I think in the modern NFL you do have to adjust a little bit with the points and be satisfied with when they spot you somewhere between 15 to 25 points and say all you got to do is score us 26.
Yeah.
And it's just neither quarterback is good.
No.
And I guess I understand somewhat people saying Mitch can run, but then Mitch can't throw deep and Foles can. I don't think Mitch completes that 3rd and 15 to A-Rob towards the end of the game, but also I don't think Nick Foles can make that first down when he's scrambling and showed no interest in passing the line of scrimmage. And so it's just one of those things where it's like the biggest position on the field is something that you don't have. Foles and Trubisky are probably somewhere both in the 24 to 32 range of quarterbacks if you're ranking them. And then the run game struggles, obviously, but then how much of that? It's such a chicken and an egg thing with the offense and with Nagy. I don't know.
It's another situation where your head coach, what he specializes in, the side of the ball is nowhere near good enough.
Yeah,
it's your biggest flaw. It definitely is for Chicago.
Yep.
Look at Illinois. Their defense isn't good enough.
Nope.
Feels like it happens a lot.
That's a great point, Derek.
It just is super frustrating.
That's a great point.
Dan Quinn was defensive-minded.
Yeah.
Tim Beckman was defensive. It feels like more times than not.
Do the Bears have an offensive coordinator, or is it just Nagy?
Nagy calls the plays.
It's technically the former Oregon guy, right?
Well, he's gone now. Oh, Helfrich, gone now. Yeah. They got rid of him.
I feel like I've gotten to the point where it's like, why don't you just work on being a head coach?
Oh, it's the Bengals guy, right? Laser?
Yeah.
Who had like the worst off. Because remember when he got hired, we sat here going, the Bengals guy? He's like 31st in offense last year.
Nagy's now to the point of Mike Matheny. It's like, he's not a good play caller. He's not a good decision maker.
Right.
But he's a leader of men. I'm like, get out of here with that crap. They like him in the locker room. Club dub when they win.
Yeah, well, that's great.
Get that.
Yeah, no,
I don't even know if he is anymore. You got players punching other players. You got all sorts of undisciplined penalties.
Williams has to be cut.
Yeah, yes.
Nowhere near good enough to get away with that.
Right. That was crazy.
And it was 2nd and 1. And then all of a sudden it's 2nd and 16.
That really killed you.
It hurt.
I mean, from a football perspective.
I guess he stole Wim's mouthpiece on the series before, is what I'd heard. Well, then I saw
also
that
pressed
he spit
the face of Anthony Miller. Or was it Anthony Miller?
He did, yeah. And then there was another image that came out last year in the game. This was the guy that went up to Tariq Cohen and did the height thing to show him how tiny he was and sort of pushed
him
around.
So he probably does need punched. It's just you got to pick your spot.
In that situation, and apparently somebody, I heard this on Sirius XM as I was driving in. I forget who was saying it. It was on Pat McAfee's show.
Yeah.
They said with the snap counts, when Wims got spit on or whatever he alleges happened, he didn't play for the next 11 minutes. And then the next play he was in, that's when he did that.
He did that.
So he basically stewed for 11 minutes on the bench. And decided that was his opportunity to strike.
Well, I told you, you don't do what he did. If somebody spit on me, though, they're going to get punched.
The celebration, too, bothers me, where he comes out of that and he's like, look at me.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, what? I was waiting for the replay to see, like, okay, who sucker punched Wims?
Exactly.
Because of the way he was reacting to
right?
that.
Right? It was...
And then he had his helmet on.
Yeah.
So you don't feel it.
No.
It's like when Joker tells Batman not to slam his head down when they're getting interrogated because nobody feels it. So it's just a worthless
body blows. You got to go body blows.
Shot. I don't know.
All right. We'll talk some more on the NFL tomorrow. I don't know. We'll talk to each other about who we're going to get on. Thanks to Jay Lamon coming in today. We got to leave. We're 0-2, guys. I'll see everybody tomorrow. It's a drive. Sorry.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.